And welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have an all new, hand-picked top five for you. And Steve, what is that top five?
We are pitching our top five pairings for a brand new buddy cop movie.
And we have some great ideas
and
in the works.
And some doozies.
But we have an extra long show for you, so Steve, let's get to it. Steve, I realized something today.
What is that, Wes?
That my apartment is so dirty.
Oh.
It's not messy. It's not cluttered. It's dirty.
That's probably worse.
Well, welcome to my dirty apartment. You don't want to know what you're sitting on right now.
I thought it was a couch.
No, it's just a collection of crumbs and feces.
Wow. Well,
you know, I've had just so many things on my mind this past couple of months that, when I walk through my apartment, I don't really just see it. I'm not in the moment. I'm not paying attention precisely. You know what I'm talking about?
You don't see the dust storm behind you as you shuffle through.
I don't see the tumbleweeds of dog hair just billowing by.
When was the last time you did a deep clean up in here?
I moved in 3 years ago. So hopefully. deep clean. It's been a few months, man.
Yeah, you gotta get on that, man.
I know, especially because we're throwing the St. Patrick's Day party here in a couple of weeks.
On a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday night, motherfucker.
Nice.
I can't wait.
I can. Talk about just like the worst day for that holiday.
Sure.
I think Tuesday's the worst.
Sure. But you know what? I took those days off of work, Tuesday and Wednesday, because it's my holiday, man.
Yeah.
It's my people's holiday.
It's not, but I appreciate that you've adopted it so thoroughly.
Sure, sure. I think I'm mostly Polish, so what do I have? Kazimierz Pulaski Day?
Which was just last week.
Oh, man, I should have taken that day off.
It was this last Monday, I believe.
Oh, yeah?
Kazimierz Pulaski.
What was he famous for again?
You know, discovering salt.
Somehow I think you made that up.
No.
No.
No, 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 no. That's no. Actually the chemical name for salt is Kazimierz Pulaski.
Oh, really? Is
Duh.
That where the chemical symbol came from?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And that is your science fact of the day.
Well, Steve, I'm glad you're here. You're teaching the people things.
Thank
you're
you.
Leading them astray.
I am. Well, I'll tell you what I will not lead them astray on.
What's that?
Is I just watched John Wick.
And was that just awesome?
It is good, man.
Yeah?
It is a good movie.
Wow, it's so weird when you like things.
Yes, it is. And I really liked John Wick.
Okay.
Reason four. The movie's only about an hour and a half. And it really clips along. And we've talked about this ad nauseum before, of movies like The Expendables. What are you making? We're making an action movie where shit blows up and we kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Expendables 1 did that. Expendables 2 tried doing other stuff. John Wick says something happens right off the bat. It's your inciting incident. And then, like, we're going to make a movie about killing people and blowing shit up in cool ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they do.
Awesome.
It is great.
Awesome.
There's a whole bunch of that guys in it as mm-hmm. well. And
like Keanu Reeves.
Like you're familiar with him?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Heard of him before.
He's the guy from The Matrix.
Oh,
not
yeah.
the black guy.
Oh, okay.
Not him.
Is he the guy who knows Kung Fu?
Yeah.
Okay.
He learns it. Yeah,
Got it. Got it.
So he's in there.
Wow.
A couple dudes from The Wire are in there.
Okay.
Willem Dafoe kind of makes a small appearance.
Who?
Willem Dafoe.
Not familiar.
And then the dude from Game of Thrones that gets turned into Reek. Yes.
Reek.
Sorry.
Get out of here.
Reek. What's his name? Ironborn. He's Ironborn or something.
Stephen Schwartz.
Stephen Schwartzman.
That's right.
He's in there as well. Movie just clips along. Keanu Reeves loves John Wick, I should say. Loves headshots.
Okay.
Loves headshots.
As in the actor's headshots?
Yes. And resumes.
God.
Loves them.
Cool.
So it's a really fun hour and a half action movie. I give it a really solid 84.
Wow. It's been a long time since we've rated something.
Yeah. Real. Because I feel like when you're talking about No, you know what? I have no excuse. I have no excuse. 84.
84.
And this is not an 84 of, like, yeah, I saw it, and yeah, I mean, it's good. It's good.
Sure.
84. This was, I was expecting a 71.
Wow. And okay.
This is a upward trend 84.
Wow. This is, whew, man.
Kind of reminded me a little bit of the movie Dread.
Okay.
That had the, basically did the same thing, where they, you are locked in this apartment, you have to, or apartment building, you have to fight your way to the top, killing mm-hmm. people. That's really all we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it really well.
Wow. Okay. Very cool.
Digging the John Wick.
Well, I watched the first series of The Fall, which is on Netflix, starring Gillian Anderson. You may know her as Dana Scully from The X-Files.
I do. I remember her from my childhood fantasies as well.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, dude. And there is a sex scene in that show. Woo!
Wait, is she blonde Gillian Anderson now?
Yes.
I like the redhead one better.
You know what? She's still very attractive.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Because actually, she was just on Top Gear this last week promoting The Fall as well.
Very cool.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very good show. It's very slow, though. It's very slow.
How many episodes are in this series?
There's 5 in the first series. And my only qualm about the first series is that it just ends. Just sort of ends. There's no climax. It just ends.
What's the basic premise of The Fall?
Gillian Anderson stars as the head detective of this serial murder case.
Okay.
So we follow her, and then we follow the serial murderer in his double life. And I guess I do have one other gripe about this show, is that the serial murderer's wife is the most... I don't want to say... she's the most oblivious person in the world. He's gone at all hours. He's coming back with blood and bruises all over him. She's going, la-da-da-da-da. Everything's fine. So... But it's fine.
It is fine.
I still recommend it if you can deal with the slow movingness of it. It's a very good show.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many series are there already?
There are 2 series.
Oh, my.
I haven't delved into the second series yet.
Those Brits.
Those Brits and their small series.
Did I tell you I now have a second taker on the Stones throw bet?
What?
If you recall last week,
okay.
My friend Dan made the foolish proclamation that he can throw a rock 100 yards, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. 300 feet. He did not. He, in fact, threw it about halfway. And okay. So he had to buy a bunch of us at work lunch. So one of my friends was listening to the podcast last week and heard the story and texted me as he was listening. He goes, I can throw a rock 100 yards. And he goes, I'll bet you a Chipotle, or I'll bet you a tortilla sidecar on it.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, dude, this is how it starts. And next thing you know, you're buying me lunches. So now we have a bet that he cannot throw a rock 100 yards.
Who's a friend?
My friend Justin. So Justin, the world knows you've been put on blast, son.
This is Justin Long?
That's him. You're
wow.
familiar.
Yes, yes.
Yes, he also knows Kung Fu, but not from a movie.
Oh, got it. Never heard of Willem Dafoe before.
No.
But Justin Long, I'm all over.
All over it. So I will hopefully... be getting a delicious Chipotle burrito bowl and a tortilla sidecar.
Wow.
Based merely on the fact that people grossly overestimate how far they can throw a rock.
I know I can barely throw a rock 10 yards. So.
Yes, that is accurate.
Yes.
I would not bet you that you could throw a rock 10 yards. I think you got 10 yards in you.
Barely.
Barely.
I got 35 feet, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe,
so I'm not,
at max.
I'm not giving you any tortilla sidecars
Mm-mm.
on that. Hell no.
Mm-mm. Well, sir, I also went to go see a burlesque show the
oh,
other
yeah.
night. Yeah. I went... So, for this radio show that I work on, I have started doing some local play reviews here in Chicago, and I've gotten to see a lot of really great theater, which is awesome. I get to review it on the air. But randomly I got an invitation to review a burlesque show, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be great. I'm gonna go there with a friend, we're gonna sit there, we're gonna with some drinks and laugh. And what wound up happening was nobody could go with me.
Uh-oh.
So I trudged my sorry ass to the bus stop, took the hour and a half round trip to go see it alone by myself in the audience, surrounded by drunken fools hooting and hollering at breasts and dancing.
By the way, you are the reason why burlesque shows get weird. Because everyone else laughing, drinking, having a good time, just having fun with it. And you're the weirdo that shows up on the bus, this stone face, just writing in your little book about these naked women. You're the reason. You're the one.
I know. About 10 minutes into the show, I put my notebook down because I didn't want to be that guy.
Let me tell you what your notebook said before. Huh. Titties. Next dance. Huh. Titties. But no nipples. Gotta keep those pasties out.
Gotta keep those pasties.
Rinse and repeat the rest of the time.
Leave something to the imagination.
Burlesque shows are... That's a real hit or miss kind of thing, man.
Sure.
I've seen a couple of burlesque shows that just were unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. And then you go, I was spoiled. I had seen a couple of those. Like, yeah, burlesque shows are great, man. Like, super talented, really attractive people doing amazing things.
Sure.
I have a friend who is a fairly pretty big time burlesque dancer. He is. That's correct. He is.
Okay. So this is Dan.
So cannot throw a rock, but goddamn, can he shake his moneymaker. So we go to see this show that he put on with all his other dancers. He was the headliner. A couple of very beautiful women doing their thing. I was like, yeah, all right. Yeah. A couple of dudes doing their thing. My wife's like, oh, yeah. And then my buddy Todd goes up, and he's got this like really like good act and the whole setup to it. He's doing his thing. And then at one point, he turns around. He's wearing a thong, mm-hmm. and he's got two like booby tassels on his butt cheeks. And they've got the one like they hang down a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And this man, I honestly don't know how it works. This man had the two of them rotating in opposite directions on his ass.
Wow.
I honestly don't know how he did it.
Nope.
But it's one of those things where if your super macho like bro comes in, he looks at me staring intently at this man shaking his ass. He's like, dude. I'm like, dude, look at this guy's ass. Like, it's doing magical things.
Don't be gay. Look at his ass.
Just be in awe of his ass. The things it can do. It was amazing, man.
I don't even know how to even begin that. How do you process that?
It was one of the more mind-blowing things I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ass tassels.
Then I went to, like, the next couple weeks, whatever, my wife and I, there was one burlesque show right by our house. Like, yeah, let's have a couple beers tonight. Let's go, you know, watch this burlesque. And this was, like, AAA affiliate, Bush League. Like, just these girls came in from off the street, and they're just, like, they're just dancing in, like, jeans and, like...
They're missing teeth.
Yeah, like, ripped up shirts. One of them's still wearing, like, their rain boots. It's like, ladies, Jesus, what are you doing? And there was this very overweight lady that just, like, went into the splits and just kept slamming her ass onto the bar.
Oh, that's what you want.
It's like, mm-hmm. This is very different.
Was she just asking for a drink? Is that how she was?
Shaboom! Shaboom! Shaboom!
That's how she gets the bartender's attention.
Apparently so.
Wow.
And she emptied the bar pretty quick, I'll tell you that.
Whoa, okay.
So, well, yeah.
I'm happy to say that this burlesque was in the middle. There was there was a bunch of moderately attractive women. Sorry, no, moderately sounded like a negative thing. There's a bunch of fairly attractive women. A couple of women I could have done without.
No real knockouts of the group.
No real knockouts. But it was a Game of Thrones parody, and 90% of the women, I won't say like all, but one or two of the women were just having a blast up there.
Sure.
And they all had great comedic timing, and it was really funny.
Let me tell you what I'm not necessarily looking for in my burlesque.
What's that?
Is great comedic timing.
Well, you're going to get it at this show.
Okay, that's fine. Yes. I appreciate it as a tortilla sidecar.
Mm-hmm.
But for my burrito bowl, I want good dancing and sex appeal.
Well, we should bet a burrito bowl or a tortilla sidecar that if you go see this, you'll still have a good time.
Oh, no, I'm not debating that.
Okay.
Unless you're breaking down bars with your... giant booty. I'm not worried about having a good time.
Gross.
Gross indeed.
But speaking of the radio show, so you know that we have guests on there every now and then. We're getting... You're familiar with The Wire, Steve, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
the thing
you've
I
seen
reference
it
every week.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So you're familiar. Previously referenced today.
We are getting Presbyluski on the radio.
Presbo?
Show.
Mm-hmm. Presbo?
Presbo.
Shit.
I don't know if he's calling in or if he's coming in to the studio.
That's awesome, dude.
So, yeah, we'll be interviewing him. I don't know why I'm marketing the radio show on our podcast.
Me either.
But I thought you'd like that.
I do Presbo. Like that. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Too bad all the questions. Like, he's probably the worst character out of the
except for the fourth season.
No, the fourth season?
Yeah, when he's the teacher.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. He's being the worst character on The Wire is... That's an honor. that's great. That means you're better than the best character on 90% of other TV shows.
Sure.
My God. Ugh. Sorry, I just had a quick run through of terrible TV shows in my mind. Ugh. Yuck.
Wow. Okay.
But I did watch the first episode of...
No, hold on. Before we go there. So what question would you like me to ask Presbo?
Presbo? Oh, shit.
Should I ask him, how does it feel to be the worst character on the best show ever?
No. He's not the worst character on The Wire. He's maybe the second worst character.
Okay. How does it feel to be the second worst character?
No, if I could ask... Now, I guess we're talking about the actual actor. We're not actually having the teacher, Presbyluski, on...
I don't want to break it to you, Steve, but the TV shows aren't real.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear the thing you just said.
Okay.
To ask that actor, I mean, obviously you're going to ask him what he's been doing post The Wire.
Yeah, what have you been up to?
And the answer is going to be underwhelming. actually, I would actually like to know what his favorite episode of the show is, I suppose, and why he likes that episode so much.
See, I want to know which child that he acted with was the worst.
I also want to know,
I just want to know gossip about behind the
scenes. I want to know if he had any sort of run-in with any of the kind of people that they were portraying from Baltimore, because I know they filmed there as well. Like, mm-hmm. Was he ever offered to buy WMD, you know, any sort of drugs, did he hear real shootings and stuff while he was out there?
Mm-hmm.
How in the trenches mm-hmm. was he in that
okay.
regard?
Okay.
So, yeah, I want to know that.
I will.
Presbo.
I'll ask him and I'll let you know.
Okay.
Okay.
Or I'll just listen and I'll know too.
Wow, look at you.
I also watched the first episode of Vikings.
Okay. How was that?
Man, it just made me jones even more for the upcoming Game of Thrones premiere.
Coming in April.
I know. Wait. About a month out.
Oh, my God. Wait. It's like April 12th?
12th,
April 10th?
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. It is cool. The 12th. And then I got to watch the first half of Tucker and Dale versus Evil with someone who had never seen it before.
Oh, yeah? Who was that?
Justin, the dude that...
Justin Long?
Justin Long.
Oh, God. He's never seen it?
And he also thinks he can throw a rock 100 yards.
Justin Long? No way.
We were sitting there talking. He's like, so what, you know, what movies are you excited about this year? And I was like, oh, you knew, obviously, Star Wars, the Avengers movie we talked about. Ant-Man a little bit, some other stuff. And I don't know how it got to it, but I was like, you're talking about recommendations to watch. I was like, man, if you haven't seen Tucker and Dale versus Evil, can't recommend it any higher than anything else. You got to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So he just pulled up his phone, boop, boop, boop. He has a smart TV, went on his TV, and we watched the first half. And then his wife came down and was like, sweetheart, we have to go. I was like, yeah, can we not go? Can we not go? She's like, we have to go. And it was right after the part where all the college kids do their attack.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the best part of that whole movie,
sure,
without a doubt. So again, I've recommended a million times, I'm going to recommend it one more. If you've not sat down and watched Tucker and Dale versus Evil, do it. Do it. Get that, on your asses and do it.
That is your million and one.
Millionth. Uno.
The millionth and one recommendation.
Indeed.
But Steve, before we move into emails from last week's top five, Steve, how do you feel about this month's PS Plus free games? For those of you who do not know, the free games are Oddworld, the remastered edition, a couple indie games I'm excited about, Valiant Hearts, The Great War, Counter Spy, was it Popo and Yo, and also the Sherlock Holmes point-and-click adventure game. So I'm excited. I love those quick little indie titles, and I love point-and-click adventure games. But Steve, how do you feel?
I don't really care about point-and-click adventure games, and I'm not a big indie guy.
All right!
So I kind of get the Wah, wah. And I kind of feel like it's been that way the last couple months.
Really?
We were, I shouldn't lump you in with me here. You have been a staunch defender and supporter of PlayStation Plus since its inception.
Yes.
Since you've got it. And I had been, for the most part, until these last couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I was okay that they went away from having as many games available each month to now just basically one indie, one AAA title.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Okay. Whatever. But they better be AAA titles. They better be AAA titles.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they gave us Tomb Raider. Great game. Like, at the beginning, they gave us Uncharted and Uncharted 2 were at the beginning of PlayStation Plus. They've given us, like, Crysis 3 was a really big game that came out.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Space was a big game that came out. Mm-hmm. Lots of free, good games. Well, I'm talking PS3, of course, at this point. Lots of really good, big-time games that have been out for, whatever, a couple years and, you know, bring new people into it. Last couple months, man, has been really underwhelming. And the game I was going to say, yeah, well, they did give us Mirror's Edge, but they didn't. That was EA that gave us Mirror's Edge. That was a celebration of EA and PlayStation 3's birthday or something like that.
Sure, sure.
So PS Plus didn't even give us that.
But wasn't Yakuza 4 a big title, or am I crazy?
I mean, it's a fairly big title, but the PS3 is, you know, the PS4 has been out now for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So the PS3 is obviously in its twilight. It's not a dead system.
Sure.
By any stretch of the imagination, but it's, you know, it's on the, it's in that last phase of its life.
Sure, it's on its deathbed.
No. I don't want to say that about my precious PS3.
Okay.
It's a little older. It's
got a pacemaker, hearing aid.
Yeah, it's had a few things done, but it's still doing all right.
It's got a nose done. It's got a little facelift.
You got nipping and tugging. So I mean, there's so many phenomenal games mm-hmm. for the system. We've talked about so many times. God of War 3 plus the remastered versions. Red Dead Redemption now has been out for, God, what, like 5 years?
God, at least 16 years.
At least. I think I just got my license.
Yep.
So there's so many great games for this system. And Yakuza 4 is not one of those games. Like, dude, throw Fallout 3 on there.
Sure.
Like, that is an all-time game that's been out for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've gotten what you're going to get out of the sales of that game. Throw it on there for PS Plus and see if people want to buy your DLC for it at that point for a couple bucks. Like,
sure.
That, to me, makes much more sense than some of the stuff they've been throwing out. And right now, man, I got to tell you, I mentioned it last week. I'm pretty disappointed with my PS4 right now.
Sure.
It's just not getting the games to keep this thing afloat right now, man.
Sure.
And I don't know, part of me wants them to support it more through PlayStation Plus. Be like, look, I know we've kind of had some shitty games here, so how about this this big game for Little Big Planet 3 or mm-hmm. you know, one of the Lego games or something. It's, I don't know. They're not giving it the support it requires.
Oh man, that's so sad to be you right now.
Generally speaking. But there is always John Wick.
Well, dude, I'm sorry to hear that that this isn't doing it for you.
Do you disagree?
I mean, you make great points.
Yeah.
But I still enjoy the games that are coming out. Like, the reason why I like the PS Plus is because they give me games that I wouldn't have thought to buy.
Sure.
And the games that I really enjoy, like The Swapper was a great little puzzle game, and I liked it a lot.
Okay.
I'm about to dive into Transistor, which I know that you didn't like, but I've heard good things,
sure.
And it looks like it could be up my alley. And they gave us Infamous First Light, which was awesome, and...
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun game, for sure, but it's, as we mentioned before, it is not a full game.
Sure, sure.
It's a little, like, preamble, kind of like a prologue to a game.
And like I said, Sherlock Holmes is a point-and-click adventure. It's for $50 normal retail, and they just gave it to us for free. It's like, hell yeah, I'm excited.
Yes, but things are only worth what someone will pay for them. Like, how many... How many people are buying Sherlock Holmes, the point-and-click adventure game?
Obviously millions. That's why they gave it to us for free. Like, We made so much money off of this. Let's just give it away.
No, and I'm not arguing. I'm sorry. Let me. You make a very good point that it does bring some games to your attention that otherwise would go by the wayside.
Sure.
And I am judging some of these games just based on their names. I don't even know anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
The point I'm making is that there is nothing coming out of this recently to me that is really exciting.
Sure.
Like when I saw Tomb Raider on there, I was like, oh my God, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, I've been wanting to play that. That's a big, like, well-received game. And again, you weren't excited about NBA 2K when it came out a couple months ago.
I don't even know what NBA stands for.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. National Butter Association?
That's it. So all you do, it's a churning game.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to use the PlayStation Move to really get the feel.
Oh, yeah.
But
I love the hand motions you're doing, too.
It's really good.
Oh, wow.
It's really, and that's, this is the 2014 version.
Got it. Got
13 it. Had some real issues with the curds and the whey.
Man, you really think that the butter churning would be, like, automatic now.
I know.
But no, it's still manual?
Mm. No. And you should, man. I saw someone playing it with the Oculus Rift. Unbelievable! But the last several months, there has not been a game that when they announce it, I'm like, yeah, awesome. I'm so glad they're giving me that game for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, yeah, okay.
Sure.
Or what the hell is that game?
Sure.
That's been my response.
Okay, okay.
So in conclusion, fuck you, Wes.
For talking you into PS Plus. For talking you into the PS4. Actually, no.
For the record, I talked you into PS Plus.
That's right. That's right.
You bastard.
Yes, that's right. Well, sir, speaking of video games, we got an email last week.
From a video game.
From a video game. From Oscar.
Oscar.
He writes... because we sent out a plea last week of just saying, guys, write us in some games that we may have missed that you have enjoyed. And he writes in, hey guys, oh my God, listening to you guys talk about video games is quite the downer. But you're welcome, Oscar.
Oh, glad we're reading this right after what I just said.
But for me, the video game scene has not been that bad. One of the games that kicked off Xbox One for me was Sunset Overdrive, just a really fun, self-aware, colors flying at you a million miles per hour at a time,
okay.
Just an all-around fun game. After playing all the serious Walking Dead and Assassin's Creed and all the Dark Series games, it was nice to play something that wasn't so gloomy.
Very nice.
Very
okay.
cool.
Okay.
Also, I've been playing nonstop, give me one second here. I've been playing nonstop.
You have to remember, Wes can't read, and he's making all of this up on the spot.
Also, I've been playing nonstop pretty much since its release a couple weeks ago. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare Zombies. So much fun. And the main game itself is really good. One of the better Call of Duty stories. Not enough Kevin Spacey. Those are my two suggestions. Hope they help. Smiley face.
You know what? I was not aware that the new Call of Duty had zombies in it. Because I do love me some Call of Duty zombies from time to time.
Now, I want to know, is there a zombie Kevin Spacey?
I don't know if I could kill him.
You know, would you just keep him around?
I would.
Yeah?
I would do a Shaun of the Dead and tie him up.
Now, here's my question. Is Sunset Overdrive just for Xbox One?
I believe so.
Damn it! Well, that doesn't help us at all!
Boo! Everything is even worse! I hate it!
But we got a couple top fives written in from last week, which again was our top five damsels in distress.
And real quick, just want to thank you, Oscar, for writing in. Appreciate it very much.
Of course. Thank you so much, Oscar. But the Angry Turtle writes in his top five.
Oh, the Angry Turtle.
Or her. I mean, you know, woman turtles can be angry.
True.
His or her top five is... Number five is Princess Zelda.
Okay.
Okay. Number four is Robin. He says, I know he's a guy and he's badass now, but back in the day in the old comics, Dick Grayson managed to get himself kidnapped over and over again, so much so that they used to call him Robin, the boy hostage. He may not be a woman nor a romantic interest, but if getting yourself tied to the railroad tracks more times than I can count doesn't make you a damsel in distress, I don't know what does.
That's an excellent, excellent selection.
His number three is Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
His number two is Sarah Connor in the first Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I thought about Sarah Connor briefly, but I always go to Terminator 2 Sarah Connor.
Sure. Badass Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Terminator 1, she's got her little puffy 80s hairdo and just running for her life. Yeah.
And his number one is Princess Peach.
No! No!
Let me read you his reasons. She's the OG princess in distress in video games. I know you hate her, but she's the epitome of the damsel in distress. She's constantly in peril, but still carries herself with class. And Mario does it all over and over again just for a bit of cake, if you know what I mean. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Wouldn't it be
sex.
the worst if Mario and Peach never, ever did it? Peach is always like, oh, thank you. Whoops, just got kidnapped again. Mario's like, come on! Baby, please! All this foreplay!
Just one night!
All this anticipation!
I need some release! It's getting harder to jump around with this raging boner.
Come here, you little Goomba.
Oh, God.
And that Goomba's like, oh no! God, that's that. I wonder when Nintendo has to go with that version of the game.
When he just runs around the fucking Goombas.
Yeah, when do you think that happens?
Oh, I think soon.
Do you think that's Nintendo's swan song to Mario?
Yeah, that's going to be the final chapter. Sex criminal Mario.
I may buy a Wii U to play that game.
Oh, man, with the motion controls?
Absolutely.
Hell, yes.
Absolutely.
Man, I think we're sitting on another $1 million idea.
Or a $1 billion lawsuit.
Yes, sir. But Timothy Adam Murphy writes in his top five damsels in distress. His number five is Lois Lane from Superman.
Okay. I would also argue she could be OG damsel in distress.
Sure, sure. His number four is Minnie Mouse.
Oh.
Okay, okay. Oh. His number
You know there's no chance Mickey got denied there.
Oh, no. Minnie Mouse is a slut.
Only for Mickey, though.
Only for Mickey.
Not true.
Whoa.
Goofy. That's not important. Let's move on.
Let's move on. His number three is Daphne Blake from Scooby-Doo.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I didn't know her last name was Blake.
I like that. It's a good.
I don't like that.
I do.
Why do you like that?
I don't know.
Okay. His number two is Marion Ravenwood from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Marion, yeah.
Badass.
Yeah, I think she'd be an honorable mention for me. I really dig Marion.
And his number one is Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors.
Wow.
Let me read you his reasons.
Please do.
Similar to Cameron Diaz in The Mask, she is trapped in an abusive relationship here with the dentist that smacks her around, and you see the fear in her whenever he is around. You can tell that she wants out of this abusive relationship, but she doesn't know how to escape it. She does finally get some help from Seymour when he kills the dentist. Yes. So it's also a little bit of wish fulfillment as the nerd gets the girl, but the way she is treated is just heartbreaking and makes you want to see or have a better life. And I attribute a lot of this to Ellen Green's vocal performance. Just makes her sound so meek and timid.
Well worded, sir.
Timothy Adam Murphy, you may have three names in your name, but that's okay.
But by God, you're a brilliant man.
You are able to put sentences together in a cohesive fashion.
Your grammar is strong.
That's right.
Punctuation game. Out of this world.
Capitalization?
Sir.
On par.
Check plus. Check plus, sir.
Good lists. Good lists all around.
Yeah, apparently we missed out on the Audrey. Wes, that's your miss.
That's me.
That's you.
That's me.
So thank you guys very much for all of your submissions. We appreciate them very much, especially the Angry Turtle, whoever you may be. And Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines, where you at, dude? Haven't heard from you in a couple weeks. Where you be?
Oh, shit. Gauntlet Throne.
There it is. There it is, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Yeah.
But enough of this. We have to move on to our very special top five this week.
Ooh, it's a very special one, Steve.
Yes. Because, and what is it, Wes?
What? Oh, this is weird. What? Wow, turning the tables. This week's top five is, if we could take two characters out of TV, movies, video games and put them together and have them star in their own buddy cop film, which two characters would they be?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we'll call it buddy cop pairings.
I suppose so.
Sure. All right.
Buddy cop bonanza.
Buddy cop banana nanza. Did I go too far?
It's too many banana.
Oh, boy.
Banana.
But Steve, why don't you start us off this week?
Fine, Wes. I will. So mine's kind of cheating.
Oh, God. Already.
That's why it's my number five. Because it's a little bit of a cheat out of the bat.
Okay.
Off the bat. Have you seen the movie The Other Guys?
Is that the one with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell?
And Will Ferrell, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a great movie.
No.
However, well, have you seen it?
I think so. It's one of those movies that I saw and I immediately forgot about.
Okay, well, there is a part in that movie that is absolutely hilarious, and mm-hmm. it has nothing to do with Mark Wahlberg or Will Ferrell. It is the buddy cop duo that is already in that movie that is Samuel L. Jackson and The Rock.
Yeah,
they're like
I remember
the
this.
Rock star detectives. And Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell kind of like the junior detectives or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a part in this movie where, like, because they're always, like, in these high-speed chases, and they're always, you know, getting the criminal or whatever. And they're up on the top of this building, and they see, these bad guys running, like, six stories below them running away. And they look at each other like, you think of what I'm thinking? Like, hell yeah, partner! And they jump off the roof to get the bad guys.
Yep.
And they die. But they just have this, you know, this hubris about them. Like, oh, yeah, nothing can stop us. So the idea of these two having their own movie. But, like, I want them to just grossly overestimate their skills at all times.
Sure.
One jumps off something and ends up in the hospital with broken legs. And then, like, so, like, I imagine The Rock chasing after a guy in, like, a full body cast where, like, just his knees have broken out. So, like, I see it as a slapstick comedy of two incredibly over-the-top confident characters.
Sure.
Which could be fun. Because, you know, there's the classic buddy cop setup, you know, good cop, bad cop, you know, the guy that's really good at his job, the one that's really crappy at his job. Both of these dudes are just supremely confident in what they do.
Sure.
And them getting their, you know, like an hour and 20 minute long movie, real loose, just funny slapstick stuff, I think could be really fun. And especially seeing something like that from Samuel Jackson and The Rock, which The Rock is funny.
Yeah.
But he's not hilarious, you know?
Sure.
It would be... could be fun if it worked out.
The Rock is super charming, man.
Absolutely.
He's very charming.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it.
And he's a dreamboat.
Total dreamboat.
Total dreamboat.
So I would like to see those dudes from The Other Guys get their own shot. That'd
sure.
be good.
Sure. Okay. Well, my number five, actually, my entire list
is terrible.
Is awful. No, when I think of buddy cops... I think I think that has to be two opposites thrown together, and they kind of even each other out, and they make each other better people.
Sure.
You know, things that shouldn't go together actually wind up going together rather well. And I actually cheated a bit on my number five.
Oh, God.
Yep, there it is.
Blah.
I originally wanted Sergeant Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon to partner up with the real
Mel
life
Gibson.
The real Mel Gibson, yeah. And I was like, no, you know what would be better? The real life Mel Gibson partnering up with Donald Glover. You might know him as Troy from Community. He just starred in The Lazarus Effect, which is apparently terrible.
Yes, I've heard awful things.
Yeah, he was on the Whitest... No, was it The Whitest Kids You Know? Or the Internet Sketch Troupe?
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, so yeah, I want those two to partner up, and I want them to, obviously they're going to solve a case, but I think they could really help each other out, because Donald Glover is so lovable, and Mel Gibson is so irascible, and so racist, and so...
what is the
so
word?
Bigoted.
Racist.
Yeah, but again, Donald Glover is just so charming and likable that I think he could actually... pull Mel Gibson away from that racist cliff.
Wow, you're going deep here.
I know.
You're going deep.
And you know what? Mel Gibson could honestly help Donald Glover make better acting choices. So he won't be in the next The Lazarus Effect 2.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And then they could solve a crime together. And they'll, you know what? They'll both be great friends.
Give me the basic idea of the crime that they're solving.
There's a murder in Hollywood that that the you know what? The movie that they're starring in together, somebody actually died on set.
Okay.
It's like very meta. It's like a movie within a movie.
You're doing kind of like a Birdman buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wouldn't you want to see that?
Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, at first, I was not. Now you're going meta. I dig it.
Yeah.
I dig it.
See, Steve, I am full of million-dollar ideas.
Or lawsuits. Not sure. You can never just put straight up Mel Gibson on camera now. And you have to be prepared for a lawsuit if he's on there.
Oh, yeah.
Got to be prepared.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. I'm going to set aside a lot of money for insurance.
It's like, look, I need a budget of about $200 million. Wes, this movie looks like shit. Yeah, $195 million is set aside. Do you know Mel Gibson's in this thing, right? I can't just be spending that money.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit. And I spent $2.5 million of that on craft services. Shit, dude.
Red Lobster is expensive.
God. Every single day, Cheddar Bay biscuits. That's how we roll.
Yeah, that's my number five. Mel Gibson and Donald Glover in a movie within a movie. Meta. Bonanza.
Meta. Nope. It's not working.
Nope.
Mine is not meta. This one is not meta.
What is it?
This is apparently my star of the show today.
Whoa.
Keanu Reeves is starring in my buddy cop movie.
Man, he's starring in your heart as well.
I mean, John Wick did some things, man.
Did
some things. Keanu Reeves, but the specific Keanu Reeves is Keanu Reeves from Point Break.
Okay.
I want this Keanu Reeves. You gotta go down. I want that Keanu Reeves.
Like, okay.
Not the quote-unquote learned to act somewhat Keanu Reeves from John Wick. I want that Keanu Reeves. And I want him paired up with Gandalf the Grey. Talking about making better acting choices. I wanted Ian McKellen teaming up with my boy Keanu Reeves. You are shaking your head in just utter despair.
I don't know how this will work at all.
All right, let me lay this out for you.
Gandalf the Grey would pick him up with his wizard powers and throw him into the sun.
No, because Gandalf is gonna continually give him his little kind of head off to the side shake that he gives to the hobbits. Like, oh, you little hobbits. That sort of like, oh, you and your second breakfasts. So when Keanu Reeves is going to be like, he's got to go down. Gandalf would say, oh, Keanu. You and your catchphrases. Here, smoke this pipe. It's going to be almost like a Mr. Miyagi to Keanu Reeves. It's going to be incredible. And don't worry, Gandalf is going to learn Kung Fu. Don't you worry.
Oh, good.
Don't you worry.
That was my number one worry about this.
Yeah, so you're probably asking what time period. What's
why would a wizard need to know Kung Fu?
Because Kung Fu is fucking awesome. Duh.
You know what? You're right.
God.
What a stupid question.
Thank you. Why does anyone need to know Kung Fu? Because it is fucking awesome. And a total panty dropper. That's why. Keanu Reeves is going to teach Gandalf how to pick up chicks. And Gandalf is going to teach Keanu Reeves everything else.
You know what? You're talking me into this.
You are also not thinking about this scene where Keanu Reeves teaches Gandalf how to... Well, he tries to teach Gandalf how to surf. And Gandalf obviously never changes out of his robes. And he's still on his surfboard. And he... Let me tell you what. That's one where he just has to... He can't surf. So after like the third attempt, Keanu's like, come on, man. We can do it. And then Gandalf gets out, tries to stand up on his surfboard, and then like this giant whale comes from underneath, and Gandalf just starts riding the whale.
Yeah.
And Keanu's like, "Wow, brah, nice moves."
Okay, you were talking me into it. Now you're talking me out of it.
Dropper.
Talking me right out of it again.
there's all sorts of great scenes. All sure. sorts of great scenes. This sure. is just I'm just talking about the trailer right now.
Oh, wow.
This isn't even the full main course.
Oh, God, the full 2.5 hour long movie.
Dude, imagine that interrogation scene.
I can't.
It's so good.
I can't.
Just like a general early 90s street tough. Sitting across on the desk,
okay.
The one light, Keanu Reeves stomping around behind them. It's like, he's got to go down. And Gandalf puts a little spell. Oh, it's going to be great, man. It's going to be great. It's a jam right there.
I sure. You know what? Make the movie. Let's see it.
It's going to be good.
Okay, I can't wait to see it.
Unfortunately, I've only been approved for a budget of $56. But... I'm still, offers are out there. I'm looking for producers. Let me know.
Sure, sure. All right. Well, my number four, I'm going with, you know what? My top four, they could honestly be interchangeable.
Wow.
Because they all have their strong points.
Then they're all weak. They're all weak. If there's not a clear number one, they're all weak.
How dare you? My number four is Riddick and Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ooh.
I want a buddy cop film in space.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. And you got Star-Lord. You got the lovable misfit with no superpowers that we know of yet. And he's got the gadgets, the cool gadgets. He's got the wit and the charm and the quickness, the quick comebacks. And you have Riddick, the brooding, mysterious fellow who knows all of the underground criminal lairs. To solve a murder in space? Yes.
God damn it, dude. This is good.
Yeah.
This is good.
I know. I want to see it.
I think it's going to open up that really good moment where they're jointly interrogating a guy, and mm-hmm. Riddick is about to literally cut his head off.
Oh, yeah.
And Star-Lord's like, whoa!
Whoa, calm down, dude!
Dude! Whoa! That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Think of the interrogation scenes. Think of the action sequences, man.
Oh, it's going to be...
Think of the fight scenes.
It's going to be ridiculous.
Holy shit, dude. Think of the special effects with the Riddick and his seeing in the dark.
And there's going to be that really good... It kind of teeters a little bit on the relationship with Groot a little bit, where he's like, oh, sure. Great. Where Chris Pratt does all the... I should say Star-Lord does all the comedic fill-ins, but they're walking through this desolate planet,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, so, what have you been up to? And... Vin Diesel, Riddick's like, none of your goddamn business. Whatever. And Chris Pratt's like, oh, no problem. I've been having a great time. Like, my mom came to visit. And
There's all kinds of fun scenes you could do. You could do action scenes where they're both fighting in the dark. And Riddick not only has to fight, but he has to call out to Star-Lord where the people are. So Star-Lord can do his best to fight in the dark.
Star-Lord just keeps punching in the dark.
Exactly. Like, no, to your right.
Oh! Punches a guy through a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
And you got some scenes where maybe they're meeting with an informant who knows and doesn't like Star-Lord. So Riddick has to go in and try to be charming and get the information
yes.
from him. And Star-Lord's in his ear telling him what to say. Come on, dude!
And then there's also a real moment. The beginning, they're just kind of beating up a couple dudes and laughing and joking about it. And then Riddick does it. No, they're coming. And it's like, yeah. And then the monsters from Pitch Black show up. You're like, ah! These horrifying space aliens show up. And yep. Star-Lord he knows it's real.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's good, dude.
It's a good one.
That's a real good one.
It's a good one.
Your four beats my four.
Wow.
That's good.
Like I said, my top four could be interchangeable.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I feel really good about my number one, but let us get to my number three first. I'm going to the realm of the video games.
Okay.
Two of my favorite characters of the last 10-ish years.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like you had mentioned, kind of do the opposites. And one, I just need the rage. I need the kind of the Riddick-ish character in this one for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Kratos.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to take Kratos out. Sure. I'm going to dust him off.
God of rage.
That's the god of the rage.
Yep.
He hasn't yet become the god of war.
No.
Take that back. He's always a god of war. God of war. We've got Kratos. Mm-hmm. Just obviously we know his deal.
Mm-hmm.
Kill first, don't even think about questions later. Not an issue. So to temper,
kill first, kill second, kill third, and so on.
Repeat 1 through 3. So to temper that, you need to go the complete opposite way. You need something gentle.
Okay.
Something sweet.
Jigglypuff.
Jigglydoos. I'm going Clementine.
Oh.
Yes.
Holy shit, dude. Yes. That's good.
We're going Clementine from The Walking Dead game. Now, keep in mind, I've not played season 2 yet, so I'm basing this just on season 1 Clementine. I don't know if there are significant changes, but that's just this sweet, sweet young girl. What is she, like 7, 8, something like that?
Like 10?
Sure.
Maybe.
Young girl. Innocent, but she has intuition. She's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Asks good questions. She notices things.
Yeah.
Whereas that's the complete polar opposite of Kratos. Fairly oblivious.
Yeah.
Fairly oblivious. Kind of hits you over the head with the major points.
Sure.
And he will gladly hit other people over the head with anything.
Oh, yeah.
So there's going to be this really nice, again, because the interrogation scene is such an important part of a buddy cop scene. Mm-hmm. Kratos just honestly ripping walls apart, almost ripping a guy's head apart. And then you hear Clementine, "Wait, Mr. Kratos." So he said he wasn't even there that night. But where was he? Because I have his, you know, this letter from his wife that says he was here.
Sure.
And Kratos like, just slowly releases the dude, but still like cuts a toe off just like because he has to. Because he has to do something.
He has to.
And at that point, Clementine has already lived through, you know, a big part of a zombie apocalypse. So she's like, well, I've seen worse than dudes getting their toes cut off.
Oh, yeah.
And Clementine will also be like, he'll do worse to you, mister.
Sure.
Just tell us where. And you're like, oh, she's just so sweet.
Yeah.
No, innocent. And of course, you're going to have the moment where Clementine is in peril. And then Kratos obviously comes to save her.
Sure.
But then you've got that really nice montage in the middle where they're like, starting to kind of like figure it out a little bit. Where like
sure.
Clementine's got, you know, like a little bit of like food on the side of her mouth, like, and Kratos like just a little bit too harshly like wipes it off her mouth, and she's like, "Ah, thank you, but that hurts."
Then Kratos is covered in blood, and she tries to wipe it off with a Kleenex. Yeah, it's great.
People,
humor.
Let me tell you about my best friend.
No, I really like how there's a lot of father and daughter parallels.
Yeah.
Because we know that Kratos lost his daughter.
And she lost her parents.
That's right.
So you've got that going, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying at the end this is going to end up, you know, like this sweet embrace and like, and then he adopts her. Like, that's not going to happen.
No.
There's always going to be, you know, he's a nonstop murder machine.
Sure, of course.
That's always going to be an issue.
But I think Clementine will be really good for dulling those extra sharp edges.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. And there's two characters that I really love. So you know what? It's not going to be a super hilarious one.
No.
But I think there's...
Are you kidding? Kratos and Clementine. Not a laugh a minute.
I think there's some room for some real growth on both of their parts.
Now let me ask you, will Kratos teach Clementine to kill?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, there's also going to be just a little whiff of like Leon/the professional.
Okay.
There where Clementine will pick up a little bit of like, that's probably going to be one of the last parts of the montage with her like stabbing a dude, like looking at Kratos and like smiling with a thumbs up.
Sure.
And Kratos is like, good. You know,
that's good, man.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some edges to kind of to sand down a little bit there, but it's there.
Sure,
it's there. It's got some things.
Sure, this is way more thought out than my number 3.
Okay,
which I just thought would be a hilarious pairing. Talk about two opposites here. My number 3 is Batman, paired up with Freakazoid. Talk about two opposites.
Wow.
But they are surprisingly similar. They fight for justice. They both do not kill. They both have lairs. I mean, and they both have alter egos where, you know, nobody knows who they are. So, but where Bruce Wayne slash Batman is...
Spoiler alert.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to spoil Batman for you. Is, again, the brooding, always serious, never cracks a smile, but the world's greatest detective. And whereas Freakazoid is insane, doing crazy things all the time, has superpowers, but then inexplicably loses those superpowers the next episode. I just think it would be hilarious and awesome to see these two team up, to see Freakazoid, A, make Batman smile, and for Batman to teach Freakazoid how to be an actual good detective. Ooh. I think they could really help each other out in the crime-solving game.
Could you just imagine if the next Batman movie, they do Batman Superman, and then the next one... is Batman Freakazoid? Could you imagine? Though honestly, the internet would break. It would just cease to work. Oh my god.
How? I tell you what though, I will see that movie.
It has this real Christopher Nolan look on the trailer.
Uh-huh.
It's like the bats flutter across the screen. It's this like kind of haunting Hans Zimmer score going underneath it. And he's like, I am the guardian of the night. I am the city. I am the guardian this city always needs.
Freak out!
Oh god! Oh man!
Oh yeah, dude! Oh, dude!
Coming this summer, Batman versus Freakazoid. Then I just preserve that image.
Batman faces his ultimate challenge yet. Humor. Batman versus Freakazoid coming this summer. Yeah, man. It's good. And it's coming.
And it's coming 2017.
That's right.
Holy shit. Ben Affleck as Freakazoid.
Oh, no.
No longer Batman. He's now Freakazoid.
That's right. So, yeah, man, I think that would be such an interesting team up.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Buddy cop okay. Right there. Batman, Freakazoid.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Brings me my number two. Bringing the ladies into the mix.
By the way, I think it's so interesting when... before we go on. I think it's so interesting how when I originally come up with these lists and I put them in, you know, 1 through 5, quantify them. But then when I start talking about them on the podcast, I'm like, oh, man, that should have gone to number five. That should have gone to number two. But yeah.
I'm telling you right now, your best so far, definitely Riddick and Star-Lord.
I know.
That's
I know.
Really good.
I know.
I'm going to bring out Kristen Wiig.
Oh.
Because... I think she's the funniest lady in show business right now. Mm-hmm. Love me some Kristen Wiig. She's going to be my goofy cop, if you will.
Okay.
To my sexy, sultry cop.
Oh.
Scarlett Johansson.
ScarJo?
ScarJo. Because, mm-hmm. honestly, just give me more ScarJo. Just in general.
Can I have all the ScarJo?
You may not, because I would like some of it.
You can have 10% of it.
I will take 10% ScarJo.
All right.
I will take it. I already know... It's very early in the movie. John Travolta is going to be in it, and they're going to kill him in about 6 minutes.
Okay.
He's not the main bad guy. He's just going to be a bad guy, and they're going to infiltrate and be like, you are a fucking weirdo, and they kill him real fast. That's going to be part of it.
What is up with your hair?
You and your weird plasticky face, and you're always touching people. You fucking weirdo.
You have dyslexia of the brain.
God, no. And like, there's no, it's actually just going to be Scarlett Johansson and Kristen Wiig, not as characters. And they're just going to be killing John Travolta, the man. That's it. Then we'll get to the real movie.
It's a 10-minute movie. Oh, okay. So
then that's like kind of the prologue. That has nothing to do with anything else. So Scarlett Johansson, I'm thinking this is going to be less cop. You're still laughing. The reason I bring this up is because John Travolta, A, is a fucking weirdo. And it's not because people think he's a closeted homosexual. I honestly couldn't care less about that.
Yeah.
I care way more about his just weird groping and touching of people. Like, he last year Not this most recent Academy Awards, the one before, when he did the Adele Dazeem. All right, you're an idiot. It was fun. This year they had Adele Dazeem introduce John Travolta, and she had fun with it and, you know, and made a few jokes about his saying. And then John Travolta's like, oh, let me touch your face. Oh, God, Idina Menzel, you're so pretty and beautiful and talented. Let me just keep awkwardly petting your face. And then there are pictures of him before the Academy Awards with Scarlett Johansson of him just, like, putting his hand, like, on her stomach and, like, touching her hair. And the look on her face is like, you fucking creep show. Get off me, you plastic man. It's gross. He's gross. Stop it. Just stop it.
I'm laughing at the fact that you're like, that we killed John Travolta in the beginning. It has nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
No, nothing.
It'll never be mentioned again.
Never again.
But there you go.
That's it. I just need that to be done. And I feel like Scarlett Johansson needs to be the one to do it.
Sure.
Idina
Menzel?
Idina Menzel would be. And you know what? She has a little cameo. Fine.
Sure. She's singing in the background.
No, you know what? She and Scarlett Johansson together pull the trigger.
Okay.
They put their hands together. That's it. Idina Menzel is like the older one. The older, because I see this as a secret agent kind of movie.
Sure.
Not buddy cop, but like buddy secret agent sort of thing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A new genre.
So Scarlett Johansson is our sexy franchisee, if you will. She is the one. She's the James Bond, if you will.
Sure.
She's real
she's
deal.
She's the Jeanette Bond.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
Idina Menzel is the old one, just for our little prologue thing. Mm-hmm. So they get together real sexy. Like, and they...
I'm glad I went Jeanette Bond, not Jamie Bond.
Yeah.
I went the extra mile there.
But Kristen Wiig is going to be our awkward, like, I guess, like, something happened at the, like, the training facility for the new, essentially, like,
recruits.
The 00 agents. Yeah, the 00 agents in training. And something happened. They were all, like, poisoned or something by our bad guy. So they had to go get, like, bottom of the barrel kind of, you know, whatever, applications that were turned away. And it's Kristen Wiig, not sexy Kristen Wiig, awkward Kristen Wiig. And now Scarlett Johansson needs to train her to be the top secret agent in the world because the threat is so grave. And it's one of those, you know, there's a little bit of a she's all that kind of thrown in where, you know, she'll become beautiful and talented, and she'll learn kung fu as well. There'll be a training montage with Gandalf. It'll be great. Just kidding. No Gandalf in this movie.
Good.
But so we're gonna have awkward Kristen Wiig become beautiful, sexy secret agent, and of course they take down our bad guy immediately right off the bat. But that's gonna be Idina Menzel and Scarlett Johansson taking out John Travolta. I don't know who our main bad guy is.
John Voight.
No.
John
Voight's too old and creepy. No, John Voight.
Okay.
You know who I want to be?
Mel Brooks.
No, Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, yeah!
Tom Hiddleston, a.k.a. Loki.
Suave-ass son of a
bitch.
Yeah,
British dude who can play a good bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's going to be, like, Scarlett Johansson is going to kind of have this little kind of weird crush on him despite the fact he's the bad guy.
Oh, there's going to be a three-way. On camera and off camera.
All right. Yeah. You know what? I appreciate you with the rewrite. I appreciate it.
Yep.
This suddenly became a rated X movie, but I'm totally down.
You're welcome.
So I feel like this has some legs.
Yeah.
I feel like
it's got about six legs so far.
Six legs. It's got sex appeal.
Mm-hmm.
It's got comedy.
Yeah.
It's going to have some cool gadgets.
Sure.
It's going to be kind of a Lady Bond sexy business. That's
John
what it's
Travolta
called.
Travolta death?
Immediate Travolta death. Who doesn't want that? Guys, girls, everyone's got things they like in this. Kung fu, sexy three-ways, pornography, old wizards. Guys, British people. There's going to be a sweet car chase. But of course, Kristen Wiig is going to be driving a double-decker bus.
Of course.
They're going to be driving in super fast Jaguars.
Okay.
Just flying around London. Whew. And Kristen Wiig's going to be like, I'm coming. And she's going to, this is not the porno scene.
No, I mean, it's not.
I'm in pursuit in the double-decker bus, and there's going to be an old lady next to her being like, but you missed my stop. Kristen Wiig's going to be like, lady, I don't have time. And then she just like kicks the old lady out of the moving bus. It's going to be great.
Oh, man. I can't wait to see this movie.
It's going to be great, dude. It's going to be great.
And what's it going to be called again?
Three Ways of Plenty. Three's Too Many. That's it. It'll be called Three's Too Many. That's it.
Oh, man. Okay.
That's it.
Woo!
Three's
All right.
Too Many.
Well, it's interesting that you went with the
sequel
lady.
is going to be called Three's Enough.
Three. Wow.
Not Three's Company. Three's Enough.
Got it. Okay, well, it's interesting that you went with the ladies for your three, because I went with the ladies for my two.
No, I went with ladies with my two as well.
That was your two.
That
well,
was my two.
My God, I went with ladies for my two. I'm going the video game route. I'm going Lara Croft.
All right.
And Princess Peach.
All right, you're going to need to talk me into this one.
Okay.
AKA, wait, first I need to know, not AKA, who is playing Lara Croft?
I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't casted this awesome movie.
This opus.
This magnum opus.
All right, tell
my
me,
first
lay
and
this
last
out for
movie
me.
I will ever make.
Lay this out for me.
Okay. See, Steve, opposites that make each other better. Lara Croft is a down and dirty brawler who is not afraid of getting in there and killing everybody in her way to
right.
save her friends, to do what's right. Princess Peach constantly gets kidnapped, but she is a princess and she's classy and she bakes. She's womanly. See, what's going to happen is by the end of the movie, when they're paired up at the beginning, they're of course going to get on each other's nerves. But by the end of the movie, we're going to see Lara Croft get some femininity back in her, and we're going to see Princess Peach be a little more badass. There's going to be some scenes where Lara Croft is going to teach Princess Peach how to stand up for herself, how to throw a punch, how to hold a weapon. And there's going to be some scenes where Princess Peach shows Lara Croft how to wear a dress, how to go on a date, how to be a woman.
Is this taking place in Victorian England as well?
I think it's going to take place in modern times. But you can talk me into Victorian England.
I feel like you are making the quote-unquote buddy cop movie for the ladies right now.
What's wrong with that?
I'm just saying. I feel like everything you're saying, I know some ladies that'd be like, that sounds good. And to me,
Steve.
No, hold on. What I would need to see
is a three-way?
Is a three-way with Tom Hiddleston. And my friend who can spin things on his butt opposite ways.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta have it. Look at his ass! It's amazing!
Don't be gay, dude! Look at his ass!
Oh, my God! I need Princess Peach not to do the cliche thing of, like, she's like, oh, the gun! You know, and she throws it down, and then eventually and towards the end of the movie, she holds it non-confidently at the guy, and you know that it's holding Lara Croft with a gun to her head, and she's like, you know, put it down, put it. Like, I need to see Princess Peach full Rambo style machine gun mowing fuckers down.
Whoa, I don't know if we can get that far.
That's what I
just
need.
One movie,
that's
Steve.
What I dude, we're, you said this is the first and last one you're doing. I need that
first and last one I'm doing. The franchise will live on.
I need Princess Peach to rescue Mario in this movie.
Well, that'll happen.
Okay.
That's going to happen. What do you think the murder is that they're solving? Luigi died.
You pretend like people would want to solve that murder. All right.
Luigi died. Mario was taken hostage.
Okay.
Princess Peach enlists Lara Croft's help.
Okay.
And they go and save Mario.
All right. And all right,
you're still not convinced.
I'm not totally convinced, but I'm more convinced now than I was a few minutes ago.
Okay,
all right.
And did I mention who's playing Luigi?
You did not.
John Travolta.
I'm in.
That's right.
Here is the $56 I had for my movie. Now for your movie.
So that's my number two. I want some Lara Croft and some Princess Peach showing each other the other side.
As you had just mentioned, now that I talked about some of these movies, I kind of wish my Kristen Wiig Scarlett Johansson three's too much. Three's too much. I wish that was my number one. But let me tell you my number one now. I still like my numero uno.
Okay.
Again, we're going opposites. We're going two different sides of the pond now. Mm-hmm. We're going English and, yeah, you can say American. We are going to take one of the best villains ever, and we're going to turn the table. We're going to make him now a good guy.
Okay. This is Ganon. Ganondorf.
Ganondorf. That's, you're familiar. That, yep. We are going to take Hans Gruber.
Oh. Okay.
From Die Hard fame, of course. Alan Rickman.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take Hans Gruber, and we are going to pair him up with someone that is going to make him roll his eyes a record amount of times in a movie. And that is going to be Ace Ventura. You're so mad right now.
I feel like each one of our picks, the other person's always like, oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, what?
Oh, no. All right. Hans Gruber.
Okay.
I can't even imagine him doing anything but standing at full posture at all times. Arms crossed in front of him.
Sure.
No funny business.
Okay.
Hans Gruber is as straight and narrow as they come, and precise and thought out, and everything is well planned, and that's the kind of man he is. Just like Ace Ventura.
Sure.
Only completely opposite. I love Ace Ventura. Love me some Ace Ventura.
Who doesn't?
Thank you.
Yes.
So you're going to have a record number of eye rolls from Hans Gruber. But there's going to be several scenes of... So let me break this up.
Okay.
Hans Gruber is going to learn to kind of drop that facade a little bit sometime. And he'll have that scene at the end of the movie where he'll have to do something a little crazy, a little, you know, a little out of his wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. Whereas eventually Ace Ventura is going to actually have to stop and think about something before he goes in to do it.
Ooh, okay, sure.
Because Ace Ventura is not a complete idiot.
Sure.
But he's going to have to, like, Ace Ventura's going to have to put a suit on at some point. And you'll have that kind of classic buddy cop business going on.
Mm-hmm.
God, I just really wish my Kristen Wiig, Scarlett Johansson was my number one now.
Yeah, I think I wish my Riddick in Star-Lord was my number one now, too.
Damn it. But I still think there's legs, but I'm just so really excited about my Kristen Wiig and Scarlett Johansson right now.
No, this one definitely has, because this has that, has a chance for a buddy cop staple, where the other person is put into the first person's wheelhouse.
Yes.
Like, for example, you know, with my Lara Croft thing, Lara Croft could go undercover as a really sexy lady in a nightclub, and then Princess Peach had to teach her how to dance and be a lady.
Sure, and then there'll be the scene where they'll have to send someone up to see Hans Gruber, but it'll actually have to be Ace Ventura, and he'll have to be wearing a suit and be like, yes, I am Hans Gruber.
Or Hans Gruber needs to go up.
Exactly.
Needs to go up at like an open mic and do like a few. He gets mistaken for this comedian, and like he has to.
Yeah, he has to do the, like, all right, you're going to have to go meet Ace. He's crazy, but you got to deal with him. And Hans Gruber has to be like, you know, has to do his best Jim Carrey impression.
Sure, sure.
Which will be, they'll be fun scenes. I would love to see Alan Rickman doing an Ace Ventura impression as Hans Gruber.
Oh my God.
Like that scene right there.
I would pay to see that movie.
That's a scene right there.
That is a
and
scene.
And Jim Carrey doing a Hans Gruber while trying to suppress Ace Ventura.
Sure.
Also, that's a scene right there.
Now let me ask you, does Hans Gruber, does he still bend the rules? Does he still kill people?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think in this one he's been reined in a little bit. They have let's say it's the CIA or whatever it is that has them working together on whatever. They have something of Hans Gruber's that is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So he would not defy them in that way. But at the end of the movie, Hans Gruber secretly, while solving this caper with Ace Ventura, has also found a way to defeat the CIA and get the thing back that is valuable to him. And then maybe at the end, maybe Hans Gruber is released from his, you know, they solve the crime and he doesn't have to work for the CIA anymore. And then Ace Ventura at that point is then faced with the conundrum. Does he continue solving pet crimes? But now that he's had a taste of the big leagues, and now that he's seen evil by Hans Gruber, does he go down the dark path with Hans Gruber and become this unstoppable force of evil? Or does he now... against Hans Gruber for the sequel?
Ooh.
I don't know.
Steve.
I don't know.
Steve. But not only did you just pitch a fantastic sounding movie, you laid the groundwork for a sequel.
Thank you.
And what would it be called? What would this movie be called in its sequel?
The sequel. Snowflake's Revenge.
Snowflake. Oh, okay. Yes. Okay.
Because in the second one, Hans Gruber re-steals the Miami Dolphins mascot.
That dolphin, it needs to catch a break.
Dude, trust me. I mean, there's some dolphins out there that have some shitty luck, but none like Snowflake. Oh, my God. So that's what's going to happen. They're going to be an unlikely duo that comes
unlikely
together.
Unlikely lovers.
And no threesomes in this one.
No, okay.
Or no romance for them in this one.
Got it.
Unlikely duo that come together, they solve the crime, and then Hans Gruber is going to drop his facade and be like, no, I am evil. And then they become opponents, potentially, afterwards.
Got it. Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, my number one, I'm just going to let you know off the bat, you're not going to like.
Okay,
thank you. I was the most excited about this one because it's two characters that I legitimately love. It is Dean Winchester from Supernatural and Jeff Winger from Community. I want them teamed up because they're both alpha males, and so they'll both just get in each other's way all the time trying to be that alpha male. But Dean Winchester is a fighter. He's a brawler. He's kind of a drunk. He's kind of a mess. And Jeff Winger is a mess in his own right, but he's smooth. He's charming. He talks his way out of situations rather than Dean's punching his way through situations. And I think this could legitimately have the most legs as a legitimate buddy cop film, because they approach situations so differently. Like I just mentioned, Dean would punch an informant rather than Jeff Winger coming up and just trying to charm the information out of the informant.
Sure.
Especially if the informant was a lady.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
I don't know.
Perhaps they have a crossover movie where they meet the Three's Too Many ladies.
There you go. It's a fivesome.
Woo!
So, yeah. I mean, I think that the crime would have to be something supernatural in nature and would have to take place at a community college.
Okay. I've not seen either show.
I know.
So it sounds great, Wes.
Thanks.
It sounds great.
Let me just tell you, everybody who's seen both shows just wet their pants with glee.
And we're very, very excited.
Yes, and we're very, very sorry that you soiled your pants.
I'm very excited that we've affected you enough to wet your pants. That's really awesome on our end.
But my top five in review, my number five was Mel Gibson and Donald Glover.
Not as characters, but in the most meta Birdman-esque buddy cop you've ever seen.
It's almost a movie in a movie in a movie, and that's the movie.
What?
My number four, which probably should have been my number one,
yeah,
is Riddick and Star-Lord.
It's really good.
Yeah, my number three was Batman and Freakazoid. My number two is Lara Croft and Princess Peach. My number one is Dean Winchester and Jeffrey Winger.
Well, I went with the boys from The Other Guys. The Other Guys in The Other Guys, which is Samuel L. Jackson and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Mm-hmm. I want to see them get their own ridiculous buddy cop movie. The most ridiculous pitch of the night. Keanu Reeves from Point Break and Gandalf the Grey.
I'm still shaking my head.
It's still going to be awesome. It's still going to be awesome, dude. Whales, kung fu,
wizardry
and chicks, and it's going to be awesome. It's going
to
be
three-way in this movie?
Well, no, God, okay. No. Okay. Please no. And then we're going to go the most polar opposite with Kratos and Clementine.
Aww.
And then the one I actually really want to see get made the most, and that's the Kristen Wiig, Scarlett Johansson, Three's Too Many movie.
Sure.
Also featuring Tom Hiddleston with the murder of John Travolta. Also featuring Idina Menzel. We've already cast this movie.
Yes.
So, and you know what? One more thing. We're going to cast Colin Firth as the director of, like, MI6 or whatever the spy organization is.
Wow, this movie has legs.
Guys, I got 56 bucks. No, I had 50. I gave it to you already.
That's right.
I have $0. I need the dollars because that's a cast that needs to get paid. And they got to eat Cheddar Bay biscuits every day.
That's right.
Number one, Hans Gruber and Ace Ventura.
Yeah, It's amazing when we start doing these how our lists change in our minds.
Yep, and no doubt, Kristen Wiig, Scarlett Johansson, three is too many is the best one.
Sure, sure.
No doubt.
I went in with Riddick and Star-Lord being the least amount of preparedness. I was like, I don't fucking know, that'd be cool, to, right? And then, like, as I was talking about, I was like, oh my God, this is awesome!
It has to happen! Oh, that's good. Well, thank you guys very, very much for listening. We would love to hear your potential buddy cop combos coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And just for the record, if they're super awesome and we pitch them to a movie studio and it gets picked up, we'll buy you Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Mm-hmm. And so we'll give you $56 as well.
No problem. $56 and Cheddar Bay biscuits if your idea gets picked up as a movie and we get paid.
That's right. That is the most important part.
So... But again, we would love to hear the top fives of this. Please check out our previous top fives. We'd love to hear, you know, people listening to older podcasts and writing in from those as well.
You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net, but the best way to get in contact with us is you can email us at fiveplaynet@gmail.com.
So thank you guys very, very much for listening. And as always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was Five.
And we're out!